Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
This week with Health Minister Andrew Little, I asked him about oximeters used in home isolation and the effects that vaccine mandates have on the health system's workforce numbers. But I began by asking him about his thoughts on the current crisis at the National Party.
I don't really have any comment to make about it. These are matters for the National Party, and they just have to sort that out themselves.
Okay, but on moving on to the vaccine mandate now, well, the mandate for the health system have been kicked in for a week or so already. So how many people have left the public health system since the mandate started?
Look, I don't have the precise figures. It's reasonably small numbers at each DHB, and in fact, for many of them, many people have been kind of stood down. They haven't resigned or they haven't been dismissed. Some are waiting for the AstraZeneca vaccine to be available, which is now in the country and will be available from the end of this week. Others are considering whether they wish to have the vaccine or not. Some are awaiting exemption applications to come through. So, look, there are small numbers at each hospital that the people who are no longer available for work, and hospitals are working around that.
But which DHB has the most staff that have been stood down? Do you know about that?
I couldn't tell you the one that has the most staff stood down. Obviously, varies from one DHB to the next. But in terms of the total workforce, it is comparatively small numbers.
So it won't be affecting any patient safety?
It certainly won't be affecting patient safety. It may cause some minor disruption to staff who are continuing to work if their shifts aren't fully staffed. But I imagine that those issues will be resolved reasonably swiftly, regardless of what happens.
So all the staff that have been stood down, none of them are responsible for direct COVID care?
Not as far as I know, no. Like, there's a range of sort of positions that are affected, nurses, some doctors, some non-frontline health staff as well. So a range of people who just in the position where they either haven't got vaccinated or don't wish to, or are waiting for some suitable alternative.
Well, when you say some nurses have been stood down, considering there's quite a lot of vacancies for nurses as well, do you think they will just put on more pressure on the existing workforce?
Yeah, well, it's certainly not helping, because you're right, there's a large number of vacancies across the nursing workforce across the country, so this won't help. But hospitals typically get those vacancies covered by agency nurses and others doing a bit of extra overtime. It's not a good long-term solution, but that's the way it's covered at the moment. But if you're asking, it's my preference that no one had to be stood down, absolutely it is. But this is the situation that we're in, and people are making the choices that they're entitled to make in relation to vaccination.
Well, earlier you announced that 300 healthcare workers will be let into MIQ every month. How many have been let in so far?
As I understand it, for this month, or because that was effectively started this week, and it is, I think there's about 125 who are taking up positions or places in MIQ this week and next week.
Where will they go after they come out of MIQ?
I'm not quite sure. I mean, there's a range of nurses, doctors, some working for private GP clinics and things like that. So, a range of people from doing different jobs once they complete the isolation.
Okay. Moving to my second topic of the day, I want to talk about oximeter uses in home isolation. So only around 900, how many people are in home isolation have oximeters? Because not everyone has them, right?
No, and it was never intended that everybody has them. So I think of roughly 1,500 or 1,600 people isolating at home who are infected with COVID, there's about 1,100 or 1,200 who have pulse oximeters. But before their pulse oximeters are distributed, there's a bit of an assessment done about whether the person needs it. If you're younger and you don't have any other kind of health issues, and the only thing you have is COVID and your symptoms are mild, then you're probably not going to need a pulse oximeter. If you're older and you've got other health issues going on, or if your symptoms are slightly more serious but still not requiring hospital-level care, then you might get a pulse oximeter just to keep track of your blood oxygen level and your pulse. But it was never intended that everybody who is infected with COVID gets a pulse oximeter, because some people simply won't need it.
Some health experts say more information should be given to those who are using those pulse oximeters at home on teaching them how to use it. Do you think this has been done enough so far?
Yeah, I've certainly seen some situations where people have said they don't quite understand how to use it. I think at the time the pulse oximeter is provided, and it's usually dropped off as part of a package, there are instructions on how to use it, on what it's for and how to use it. There's also access to an 0800 number if you're a little bit unsure about how to use it and what it's for, and you can get advice over the phone. There are some situations where I think, and we'll probably see more of this, where the pulse oximeters as well as other care material are dropped off by a person or in person, and there's the possibility, even if standing at a distance, for some more kind of physical instruction given on how to use the pulse oximeter and how to read it.
Okay, there's a recent study in the UK that found that oximeters can overstate the amount of oxygen in people with darker skin, and your counterpart in London, Sajid Javid, has ordered a review into whether the devices are equally effective for patients regardless of ethnicities. Do you think New Zealand should have a similar review on that?
Yeah, I know the minister. I've asked the Minister of Health about that, and they said they've looked at kind of peer-reviewed articles. They say, look, it's inconclusive. If you have a look at the most recent outbreak, where those being infected with COVID are predominantly Māori and Pacific, and therefore of the pulse oximeters going around, they are predominantly going to Māori and Pacific people, and there's been no reported concern about the measurements and the readings being taken from the pulse oximeters haven't gone to those people. But to your earlier point, some have been a bit confused about how to use them correctly, but those who are using them are not reporting there's anything wrong with the readings that they're getting.
My final question for today is, well, after the borders open, would the home isolation still be in place for COVID-positive cases?
Oh, yes. In fact, once the borders are open, and people will have free movement around the country. Look, COVID is going to turn up around the country. There will be more people infected with COVID. The benefit of being vaccinated, however, is that if you do get infected with COVID, you're much less likely to get the more serious symptoms and much less likely, therefore, to have to go to hospital. So most people will be able to isolate at home. We're just going to make sure that people get the right care and the right clinical oversight while they're at home.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire.